Tonight is going to be, it's my intention to create a very special experience. I've been pondering this through the day. I've had an occasion to speak with some of you that have been participating on the calls. I've received emails from others. I want to thank you for having the courage to share your thoughts and your insight. I'd like this to be as interactive as we can. I'm going to be sharing some principles tonight that I would call very practical, things that you can start doing in your life as soon as you hang up this phone, that if you'll begin to do at a very high level could change your business in a very short period of time. I appreciate the fact that some of these principles are a little foreign and uncomfortable. In an attempt to assist people to become intentional creators of their life, now just so we understand this, an intentional creator understands that things don't just happen. Well, life happens, but success doesn't happen. It doesn't just happen. It's actually intentionally created. When we work in an employee situation, we might be going through the motions and doing tasks, and the company still stays in business, and paychecks are issued every couple of weeks, at least for most. Some have lost their job. It's been a very difficult time the last year or so in our economy. But for the most part, we're conditioned. We're so conditioned to go through those motions of people just, things just happen. Life happens. And so when we see an opportunity like this, and we have people here from a multitude of different companies, all great companies. I could name them. It's just such an honor to have all of you on the phone from all of these different very wonderful companies. These companies have presented an opportunity to each one of you to do something exceptional with your life. Now, it's the nature of the business that sometimes it's so exciting and so motivating to even ponder the possibility of having financial freedom and time freedom. And so many have gone through frustrating times in their lives. Some have lost businesses. Some have lost homes. Some have lost companions. Some have lost children. Some have had awful things happen in their lives, and they're feeling such tremendous pain that when an opportunity like this is presented, it's almost like a godsend, an opportunity to get above all of that, to finally have enough money so that money is not an issue anymore. Well, it's a little bit of a tragedy. Now, be with me. I want to talk to each one of you tonight as if you and I were sitting just face-to-face, just you and I. Or you and me, if we have any English majors in the class. But we're just talking. Because I want you tonight to get very introspective about why you got into the business that you're in. And when you first got in, the excitement that you felt, hardly be able to sleep at night, all the possibilities, the income that could come in, the people at the front of the room that were sharing their experiences, and sometimes people in the group that are having these wonderful experiences based on the different varieties of products that each one of you are representing. And the possibility of when that money comes in, what life could be like. And you'll hear me talk about this. It may happen weekly. Because it tears my heart apart to have people get caught up in the when this happens, then I'm going to be able to. Because I know the instant they do that, they're stepping into that place we call the gap. We're not in creation. We're in wishfulness. We're in hope. We're in waiting for it to happen. We're in a place that is non-productive. It's so destructive. And there are so many in our nation who are experiencing great frustration right now because what they believe to be true. These aren't the messages from the companies. These are often from the pundits, the perverse purveyors of the millionaire magic doctrine, who want us to believe there really is a fantasy fairy that will magically manifest our wishes if we could just visualize them with enough intention. And we want so badly for those things to come true that we buy into that. We go to seminars, we buy books, we watch DVDs and CDs, but yet it's not happening for us. And we have to keep up a good front. If we have people in our organization, we can't let them know the pain we're experiencing. Heaven forbid that would cast a shadow on the company, and they might bail out before they have an opportunity to catch on too. So it creates a catch-22. How can I be honest about this and not discourage people? Here's the answer. It's for me to share with you and for you to listen very carefully and to implement these things in your life and begin to be the creator of your business, the example, so that you don't have to feel like you are like you're pretending, like you can't speak the truth. That when things are going well, you can talk about those dark nights and those discouraging moments, and it doesn't have the same impact as when you are not yet successful in the business. So may I just speak to your heart for a moment. Let us be very real tonight. Let us deal with what really is. Where are we really? Not where we pretend to be sometimes. And I understand why we do that. Or when we try to impress people. Or when we're feeling shame and feeling fear and our pride gets in the way and we have a hard time asking for help or reaching out for fear that someone might think less of us. Just know that I'm here with you tonight, and just be with the fact that I may know some of those things, and that my heart has gone out to you in a very special way this day as we have prepared for this event. I got up very early this morning to ponder what could be the most important thing, based on what I've heard, that could assist each person on the phone tonight to move their business forward. And this is where I've selected to go. You've received a document. If you've been close to your computer, if you haven't, we're going to talk about it tonight. And some have said, gosh, it'd be great if we had something to follow up and read. And I will take you to some of the tools that you have. This tool is not available yet. This tool that you currently have that I have delivered to you tonight, it's not yet available on the website and in the detail that it's in now. You can find pieces of it in the section entitled The Seven Laws, Partnership Practices. I have taken that and taken it to another level in preparation for the book. And I'm going to be going through that with you this evening, what I call the seven principles of intrinsic validation. Here's the truth. I want you to hear the truth. Because of what's happened in most of our lives, most of us reflect on life through our own lens. In other words, it's how people are acting to us, how we perceive people perceiving us. What are other people thinking about us? Now, you may have heard me say this before, we'd be less concerned about what people are thinking if we actually knew how little they do thinking about us. We know how little they actually do. They just don't. Everybody's thinking about themselves. Now, we have a dog barking and some kids in the background. If that's your phone, just press *6 and go on mute. Then if you have any questions or comments, just come right back, and then we'll keep the conversation and the recording very clean. Oops, there's that dog barking again. If that's your phone, just press *6, please. *6. Okay, so here we are. We are living in a life where everything has revolved around us. Now, we have companions, and we have children, and we have some of us employees or coworkers or other people that we're responsible for. But nonetheless, we often reflect on all of them in relationship to how they are impacting us. Now, this is a great secret, I'm telling you. This is absolutely the truth. What Og tried to share with you and what I'm sharing with you with intrinsic validation is the greatest secret of success. Get this, the greatest secret of success is stepping above that and focusing your attention on another person. Now, some of us when we've been through difficult times, some of us come up as, we're like victims. You know, if we don't say something or frown or have a heaviness about us, how's anybody going to know what we're suffering or what we're going through or the sacrifices we're making or the work that we're doing? The truth of the matter is almost everybody who's watching that's being drained by it. It's not edifying. It's not lifting. It's about being self-centric. Now, please, don't be offended. I'm sitting here. I want to, like, hold your hands while we're talking and look into your eyes and reach into your heart so that you just are not offended by this, because there's no offense to be taken. The fact is that almost everybody is focused on themselves. And the wise person, the one who gets it, the greatest secret, realizes that if they, instead of focusing on themselves, focus on other people, they will receive tremendous rewards in terms of cooperation and productivity, and they will be able to create all of their dreams. So if we really want our dreams to come true, we focus on other people and assisting them in helping their dreams come true. We can no longer be offended. We know that when someone is critical of us, most likely, there's something going on inside of them, self-esteem. They've been hurt, or they're feeling less than, and they're trying to protect or defend themselves. Why would we ever be offended if someone needs to do this? Well, I want you to know I'm human. I want you to know it's not easy when someone has criticism. It's not easy. However, when we're wise enough to step beyond it, something magic happens. Now, Og said it this way. This is the greatest secret of success in all ventures. Speaking of love, he said, muscle can split a shield and even destroy life. We can try to tear down people's walls. We can throw up on their walls, because everybody's got one. Everybody's got a wall, and they live behind it, and they've got a whole world behind it, and they've got subplots and sub-characters and impressions and ideas about how they think you think about them. Everybody's in their own little world. Now, some are more overt and more conversational and more flamboyant, but nonetheless, most are still viewing the world through their own lenses and how they perceive you are perceiving them. And we can use muscle to tear down this wall to get to them. He says, but only love. And we know that Og was talking about agape love, A-G-A-P-E, agape love. Only agape love can take down this wall of resistance. So, and until I master this art, oh, this is so true, I'm no more than a peddler in the marketplace. I've shared this with you before a few weeks ago, but just think about this for a moment. How often have you felt like a peddler when you're trying to sell your product? You want to present to somebody. You know what it could do for their life. You want to get them excited about it and try your product. And like a peddler, you might as well put pots and pans on the outside of your car and a snake, you know, for snake oil. Sometimes it feels that way. It feels icky. It feels awful. And we call mama and we want to take a shower. But Og says only love can open the hearts of men. Only love. Agape love. Agape love is that heightened level of awareness. It's the ability to step back from yourself. Step back from your own selfish agenda. Step back from your own baggage, your own bias or prejudice or need to be right or self-esteem that might get hurt. It's the ability to step back from all of that and truly see this person the way the power that governs abundance sees them, whatever name you want to give that power. What could we see in a person? That person looks ornery and angry, and they've said a mean thing to me. All of a sudden, we step back, and we see the truth, and we discover something going on in their life that's ugly, that's awful, that's painful. and they're just lashing back. They're reaching out. They're struggling themselves. They're overcompensating for a lack of self-esteem. And here we are taking it personally. Oh, no, no, not anymore. We're going to step back with agape love, with this heightened level of awareness, and see them differently. Now, to see them, we want to be able to own our own experiences. I want you to go to the partnership section of Seven Laws and read the Chicago Dream. Read that dream. It really happened. It was a very profound experience for me. And it taught me that all of that stuff I've been dragging around behind me, all of those failures and frustration and discouragement, was actually supposed to be owned by me. It's my life. It's supposed to be engraved on my heart so that I have reference points to serve another person who may be in a similar situation. Now, go back and read that dream. So knowing there's a wall, knowing that we're going to take it down with a heightened level of awareness, knowing that you're going to use your own life experiences, your empathy and your intuition, which most of you have a very, very high level, very high level. We're going to step into this person's world, and we are going to take down their wall of resistance. The very first principle to assist you and me in getting past ourselves for the next week, very practical exercise, is to look for the good in everyone you meet. That's a piece of it. The second is to look for what is important to them. What's important to them? Now, I've given you a couple of stories in this section. When I was in Chicago, and we were at lunch, and George came up, the waiter that took care of us, who had a pencil-thin mustache and a beard. And I noticed it. I would never grow one. I wouldn't want one. But this is not about me. This is not about you. Can you sit in that restaurant and see George, this about 5'7", very slender Hispanic young man with this very thin pencil-thin beard and mustache? Can you see how important that beard is to him? Can you see it? Because if you can see that, and it's not fake, this isn't phony, this isn't acting, this is actually being aware of another human being, a young man who's working for a few hours, who had a life before he came to Chili's that day, who had a life after he got done with work, who spent probably an hour that morning, or 30 minutes at least, trimming that beard. And as I said to him, George, you have to tell us about this. I mean, if you miss, you wipe out half of it. Somebody noticed. I can promise you that nobody had noticed George's beard. But his reaction, he was so pleased. Think for a moment, someone in your life. Someone in your life who has something that you don't really care about. It's not important to you. Think about them for a moment. See if you can identify somebody. Because George gave us incredible service just by noticing him. Now, when you notice it, verbalize it. Speak it. That's principle number two. Speak it. One of the most profound experiences I've ever had on this topic happened right here. I'm up here at our family cabin for the family. They're all coming in tomorrow night. Ramona and I are here getting things cleaned up so that we can have a great weekend with everyone. Just a wonderful place to come. This is where we hold our couples retreats. We were having one just 30 feet from where I am right now. A young man who was so quiet and reserved, hardly said a word for 3 days. We're talking about these principles, and he had, and he'd been in the jacuzzi a few times, so we knew that he had tattoos on his chest and on his back and on both of his forearms, and they were all crosses, three crosses. Three crosses on his forearms, three crosses on his chest and on his back. And I asked him, I said, now, you need to understand something. I don't like tattoos. No offense. If anybody on the phone has one, I would never get one. But intrinsic validation is not about me. It's not about you. Can you see how important that thing might be to this person? And I said, share with us the story behind your tattoos. I'm so glad we did this. and you'll read the story or you've read it already. He said, all I wanted when I grew up was a tattoo and to join the Marines. Joined the Marines, got trained, and was notified that we're being sent out to Iraq. I went into the tattoo parlor and I had him put these tattoos on, and as he was touching his arm tenderly, he said, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Touching his chest likewise. He said, I wanted them where I could see them, where they could protect my front and protect my back. Then he told us about his first trip to Iraq. He was a mortarman. He was on the front lines. He was in Fallujah, that terrible battle where we lost so many of our soldiers. He said there was death in every breath. I thought that was fascinating to hear that. And he said that I came home alive, fortunate. And it wasn't like 9 months later and his unit was called up again. He said I went back into the tattoo parlor and I had them reinforce the crosses. Big shadows, drop shadows on the crosses. That was when we realized they weren't like that the first time he had done them. I wanted to make sure I could come back alive. There was not a dry eye in the room. As we reflected on how sacred that was to him, I had a totally different opinion about tattoos. Had an experience Christmas time in a cab with a lady who had a tattoo on her wrist. And I asked her, I said, tell me about your tattoo. She says, oh, I'm from West Virginia. I'm connected at the hip to my brother. And this tattoo is about my brother. She started explaining it to me. And she held her hand up on the steering wheel where she could see her wrist. She says, this way my brother's with me all day. I was moved. I want to encourage you this week. This is your assignment. I'm going to share more with you, but this is your first assignment from a practical standpoint. I want you to start noticing what is important to other people. And notice how often when you see it, you might be saying, well, I've got a better one than that. Or I would never do that. Or I wouldn't care for that. And then say to yourself, this isn't about me. Can I care enough about this living, breathing human being to see what's important to him or her, and then have the courage to verbalize it? I can tell you right now that it's one of the first steps in connection. You don't always have to verbalize it, but when you are in the mode of always looking, you see you can't focus on yourself when you're looking at what's important to another. You can't be thinking about what are they thinking about you when you're searching for what's important to them. This could be easy for some of you and perhaps painful for others. If you've had struggles in your business and you find this to be just a little uncomfortable, you now know why. People buy your products from people who they can trust and who they like. And people like people who like them. People like people who notice them, who care enough to notice. Now, it's not manipulative. It's just not. This is not a game. We're not acting. We're actually caring enough about other people to, in fact, notice. Now, before I go to the next principle, I'd like to pause. We want to make sure that this is clear tonight. And any questions that you might have or any clarification that I could give, I want to open this up to any discussion. Is there anyone that would like to comment? Just come off of mute. Okay, then we're going to move on. Somebody coming off?
Yeah, this is Ken.
Hi.
Hi. You just repeated what my mother kept telling us all our lives. If you see something bad in someone, you look for the good. There's got to be one good thing. That's my comment.
Thank you. You know, this is not a new principle. It's just that one in our society, we've gone through kind of a decadent decade of self-centric behavior where we all were trying to satisfy our own needs. We lost this. When we talk about making Ogmandino relevant for the 21st century, we're going back to some very basic principles of success. And this is one of those. Our parents did teach us this. Oh, when did we forget it? When did we stop looking for the good? When did we stop looking for what's important to another person? So let us start here. Now the next stage, and don't skip this one, you really want to be successful in your business. It is all about other people. And to make it about other people, we start with this process. Now, once this process is in play, and we start to realize, and I do hope, that you'll have an aha going through this experience and go, wow, I really am so caught up in my own pain and my own frustration and my own needs that sometimes I just miss this. Wow, this is so cool. Because as you do this, many of you are taught what's called the 3-foot rule, where you strike up a conversation. Too many strike up a conversation with an agenda. They want to recruit somebody into their business. They don't trust human nature. When we trust human nature, we acknowledge something that's important to someone, something they're doing good. Sure, love the way you're handling your children. Well, thank you very much. So how old is she? She's 12. What's the favorite experience you had with your child? Oh, tell me more about that. Do you work? Yeah, I have a job. Oh, what do you do? Oh, tell me more about that. I'm going to share with you how to do the rest of this in a moment. But as you step into someone's world, genuinely interested in them, you can trust. And those of you on the phone who tried this know this is true. That when you're done, if you're dealing with a person who's probably interested in interesting ideas, more likely than not, they will ask you this question. What do you do? You don't need an agenda. You don't need to figure out a way to segue into your product or go into a conversation that leads to. You don't need to do that. Care about them. Step in their world and find out about them and then say, thank you so much for sharing. And they'll inevitably say, what do you do? And then you've got a quick statement. Now, I'm going to take you to a next step, but the key to a 3-foot rule is actually noticing another person, noticing them, and actually caring enough to verbalize and comment to them. And I've said this is my third time. I want you to understand this. There may be some times when you go, am I being fake? Am I being a phony? And when you feel that, just say, no, I'm just being uncomfortable because I don't do this very often. Actually, what I'm doing is becoming aware. I'm becoming aware of other people and what's important to them. I'm letting go of my selfishness. I'm letting go of my self-focus. It's a wonderful thing. Now, we want to transition from I notice another person. This is the first step, noticing people, becoming aware of them, to I can feel what you're feeling. Now, there's some wonderful studies on this. Probably some of the best literature on this topic comes out of a book called Social Intelligence, written by Dan Goleman, which is G-O-L-E-M-A-N, if anybody wants to get the book. He's from Harvard. He also wrote a book called Primal Leadership. He was also the one who initiated the emotional intelligence phenomenon. Just a wonderful author and lecturer and coach. He validates the fact that we are built. We are literally built physically. If I were looking into your eyes right now, if you could just imagine, I'm looking into your eyes, your hands are held out, and I'm holding your hands and just looking into your eyes. We are built to connect. We are built to feel what the other person is feeling. Physiologically, we're built this way. This is a wonderful thing to know. We live in an earbud society where everybody's got their iPod on or in their cell phone or two kids in the back seat. Lincoln's on the phone. He was telling me that his two of his teenage kids were in the back seat the other day texting one another. And I said, maybe they're talking about something they didn't want you to know. But we're in a different kind of a communication era. And yet, physiologically, we are built to connect. Now, as we're looking into each other's eyes, or we're feeling what someone is feeling when we're on the telephone, the next thing we want to do, step number three, is we want to listen for doors and step into a person's world. Listen for doors. Now think about this. Everybody's got a wall. All the thought processes they've got are going on behind the wall. Everybody got that visual? Got that wall in front of someone? They've got this whole world going on behind them. Just think about your own world. What do you present to the world versus what's really going on? Are you having any financial challenges? Having any struggles? Does anybody see that when they see you? Has anyone listened to you to really hear in your voice? Have they just talked to your facade? Do you talk to their facade? This is an opportunity to listen for a door. We have a tendency as human beings to do what's called telescoping. We telescope with a word or phrase, and we do it subconsciously. We're not even conscious we're doing it. I had a bad night last night. That's a way of saying things weren't good with the kids. There's a whole bunch of stuff going on. I had a bad night last night. That's a door. A child comes home and says, I hate my English teacher. That's a door. Someone says, why isn't the laundry done? How come the house isn't cleaned up? Those are rhetorical questions. Those are doors. And sometimes the most powerful doors are hurtful doors. When someone calls you on the phone and wants to give you advice or fix you or correct you, those hurt. Those can hurt. Unless we step back and with all the power we can muster say, that's just a door into that person's world. Let me step through that door. Now, I've given you in this article several examples of what doors might look like. You'll want to start listening for these verbal hints. What's going to happen is as you consciously start to listen, you're going to hear them everywhere, and you're also going to notice two people in a conversation. And one of them is going to give the other person a door. You know, I had a really rough night last night. And the other one's going to say, yeah, me too. One person's going to say, I hate my English teacher. And you're going to hear a parent say, oh, I'm sure she's a wonderful lady. You see, our tendency is to fix. Our tendency is to share our stuff. Someone's sharing a great story about something that was exciting they just did, or they went to Hawaii, for an example, and you went to Hawaii last winter too, and you can't wait to jump in at the first time they breathe to tell them about your Hawaii trip. That's how people communicate. Now, don't take that personally when I said your. That's just how we do it. We can't wait to tell our story, and then they tell their story, and then we tell our story, and everything is about us. Those are all doors. Who cares enough to hear them and step into them? Now, there's a conversation in here about a husband and wife. It's kind of a fun conversation. Husband comes home, and he's had a rough day at work, and his wife apparently has too. And the husband walks in and says, what's for dinner? I'm starving. Skip lunch. Anybody hear the door? What's behind that comment? What's for dinner? I'm starving. I skip lunch. Is he trying to say something to us? Step into his world. Well, tell me more about that. How come you skipped lunch? Oh, we had this client who did this, and our anchor client just about left the firm today, and we just about lost our whole livelihood, and oh, man, I'm just worn out. Wouldn't that be interesting to discover? However, the wife's response was, how about we go out? It's been an awful day. Well, he's stuck on his agenda. He's had a tough day. He just wants to come home and relax. He's worn out. So he's not listening. She's had an awful day. She's not listening. It's been an awful day. Wouldn't it be interesting if he sat down and said, oh, sweetheart, what happened today? Share with me. oh, this happened and that happened, and oh, you put your arm around, you give them a hug. I still remember one Saturday boot camp, I was sharing this very statement with somebody, and a woman from Hawaii piped up and said, there's not a man on this planet who would ever do that. I thought, oh, man, gentleman on the phone, would we never do that? Would we never set our agenda aside and hear another woman say something and step into their world? Awful day. Could we hear it? Or are we going to respond like this man? Oh, I'll just throw something together. The playoffs start in 20 minutes. Wife responds, Tom said I could get off for 2 weeks in June. Wouldn't it be nice if we could go to Tahiti and stay in one of those romantic straw huts over the water, the ones with the glass floors? It's been a long time since we did something like that. Boy, are there some doors in there? Ladies, help us out. What's she trying to say? Anybody know? I'll give you a couple more hints. Husband responds, so long as there's a place to lock up my golf clubs. Speaking of golf, did you hear the new course is opening Saturday? She pulls an invitation out of his pocket. Invitation only. To which she responds, did you hear Marilyn and Harry are getting a divorce? Anybody starting to pick up on what's happening in these two agendas? Husband responds, sure glad our marriage is strong. To the wife says something even more. She keeps telescoping more and more and more about what's on her mind. I heard that Harry has a new girlfriend. And he just flippantly looks over and smiles while he's trying to get the TV control to work. Sure glad our marriage is strong. Oh, boys will be boys, he says. Boys will be boys. She gets up and leaves. Where are you going? What'd I say? Ah, women. How many times are we in a conversation with someone where we've got something on our mind? It could be that we come with a product to sell, and we truly believe this person could be benefited by it. And we sit down and we begin to throw up on them about our product, and they begin to try to tell us something. And they might even raise an objection. Just know that an objection is not a question that needs to be answered. An objection is not a question. It's a statement. Statements demand questions. Oh, I'm not a salesperson. I could never sell. We come up with a quick slap in the face like, oh, be quiet. That's a ridiculous thing to think. Sure you can. You can do this. It's no big deal. You can share with all your friends, especially if you love it. I mean, when you watch a movie and you really like it, don't you share that with your friends? You know, slap, 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 slap. What would happen if you said, we said, well, tell me more about that. Oh, I'm just scared to death to talk to people. How long has it been like this? Oh, for most of my life. Have you missed some opportunities as a result? Oh, yeah. What's it cost you? A lot. How long do you want to hang on to your fear? Don't hate it. Would you be open to me sharing with you some ideas of how you could overcome your fear? Oh, yeah. Great. That's how objections are handled. When we care enough about people and we're not coming in with our agenda and we're truly listening for a door. An objection is just a door. There's a whole story behind it. Oh, no, 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 no. Oh, come on, Dave, don't. How did you get involved in this? Everybody knows those things are just pyramid schemes. They're just scams. What do we want to say in response? Say it to yourself if you're uncomfortable speaking on the line. Oh, our company's different. It's not like that. It's just a door. It's just a door. Tell me more about what you're thinking. Share with me what you're thinking. And the person says, oh, I got one of those once. Filled a garage up with inventory. Worked my tail off for 3 years. Recruited my favorite aunt and uncle. Place went bankrupt. My aunt and uncle ended up losing their house. Really? How many of us want to say, well, our company's financially stable, it's traded on the New York Stock Exchange, or it's got multi-billion dollar owners, or, no, this is just a door. Just a door. So we say, how many doors did I give you? Let's see here. Bought, signed up for the company, worked for 3 years, bought a garage full of inventory, worked my tail off, recruited my favorite aunt and uncle, company went bankrupt, they lost their house. How many doors did we just hear? We think about which is the one that's the most painful for them. How about the aunt and uncle? Tell me more about what happened to your aunt and uncle. How uncomfortable is it to go to family reunions? Is this on your side or your wife's side? Or if it's the other way around, it's on my wife's side. Ooh. What kind of complications did that create at your family reunions? That was awful. Have you ever been able to resolve that? No. Here's another question. If you're listening for doors, a door is I worked my tail off for 3 years. How many of you on this phone, when you first got involved with your business, and maybe still, I hope so, when you first got in your business, you were so excited you couldn't even sleep at night. You just were thinking a million things, people you could talk to, money you could make, things you'd do, just a million things, you could hardly sleep. What's the likelihood that a person who got into a business and worked his tail off for 3 years and recruited his favorite aunt and uncle may have had the same experience? This is your empathy coming alive. Step into his world. When you first got involved in this business, was there ever a time when you couldn't sleep? Yeah, what were you thinking about? All the people I could talk to? What was the biggest amount of money you ever dreamt that you could make? Not 20 grand a month. What were you going to do with it? I was going to buy a boat. Oh, what kind of boat? You're in this person's world. It started off with, oh, you're in a scam. It's a pyramid scheme. How could you ever get involved in this kind of a... It has nothing to do with their personal, what we would take as a personal attack to us. It is seldom ever a personal attack. Seldom. It is generally a whole story behind it. But if we care enough to find out, oh, can we do miraculous things? Now, as we're stepping into their world, and I've used that phrase, tell me more about that. Share with me what you're thinking. Whatever you say, it is, I want to know where you are. I care enough about you to know. I've set my agenda aside. I've set my baggage aside. I am stepping into your world. This is all about you. Now, just know, when you go into someone's world, the greatest risk, the single greatest risk, is that you are going to think of something that's happened to you that you're going to want to share with them. There's a time for that, but not yet. It's not quite yet. Right now, you want to stay in their world. Keep listening for doors. Now, there's some comments in here to help you out. For an example, if you have a brain freeze, you don't know what to say, what would Dave say when in a moment like this? Just very confidently say, I'm listening. I'm listening. Sometimes silence and just focus is important. You don't need to make a comment until it's clear to you what it should be. And if you're never clear, you don't need to comment. Just listen. Be a great listener. You see, the purpose of this whole process is to create a safe place where someone can say, wow, maybe not consciously, subconsciously, I can let my walls down. I don't have to have protection with this person. They're not going to throw up all over me. I don't need to have my windshield up and my washers on. They're not going to try to beat down my wall so I don't need to reinforce it with steel. I get to bring it down. And as their wall comes down, their cooperation and productivity floods out. And it's been measured. I think I've shared this with you. That Dr. Hartman measured this. He said that on average in a non-adversarial relationship, that a person holds back 40% of their cooperation and productivity until we care enough to step into their world and create a safe place. And if you're trying to recruit somebody, it's very likely much higher than 40%. So you want to create a safe place where there's no reason for a wall. You're not going to jump on them and pounce on them on the first opportunity. You truly are in their world. You want to know where they are. The first great risk is that we're going to want to yank them out of their world, bring them over to ours, tell them our story, take them back in the world, set them down, and tell them to keep going. You're going to tell your story later. Right now, you're going to stay in their world. If you know what it's like, you'll know the question to ask. Now, this is being recorded, so you can go back and listen to it. If you know what it's like, you will know the question to ask. Then you can ask it. So you ask the question. Well, when you're driving those four-wheelers up the hill, did you ever get up on two wheels and think you're going to flip over? Oh, man, yeah, and they start telling their story. Instead of you telling the story about the time you almost flipped over. Stay in their world. Let it be their turn. Let it be their opportunity to share. The second great risk is that we may get into an endless conversation. Now, this is a honing of this skill. We're not going to learn it tonight. Tonight, I want you just to go look for the good, see what's important to a person, verbalize it, listen for a door, and step into their world, and now stay in their world and take down these walls. It might take longer. I know some people in some of your companies that can take down walls in moments, just moments. They're masters. They know how to cut right to the issues very quickly and get to people's hearts. They also have income as credibility. They've got other things on their side that allow them to do those kinds of things. For you, you'll just want to keep the conversation in context. This is all in the document that I sent to you, the conversation in context. That means if you're dealing with a health and nutrition product, and you're sitting down with a friend for lunch, you don't start the conversation with, "So how's your life?" Because an hour and a half later, you'll be looking at your watch with 5 minutes left to go, and you're going to need to leave, and you're going to probably make a really awkward segue into your business. Well, the reason why I wanted to talk to you was, and all of the previous conversation was just polluted with the ugliest, darkest, worn-out motor oil. We don't want to do that. So what do? We're honest, and we keep a conversation in context. Alice, the reason why I invited you to lunch, I wanted to explore with you how you feel about health and nutrition. What are you doing to take care of yourself? And you sit back and you listen. Tell me more about that. Have you done this? What kind of vitamins might you use? Do you ever consider something like this? Oh, this is wonderful. You'll learn everything you need to know about that person and whether or not you even have an opportunity to share with them your product and whether their product would be perceived as valuable. You'll know all of that by caring enough to stay in their world. This is such a key piece. Now, you're not there to interrogate, and you're not there to gather evidence to convict them or convince them, or coerce them, or manipulate them. You truly are caring about them. And when you feel like you know everything, here is the final word. Ask one more question. It's been my experience that last question often reveals more than all the previous questions combined. So, save your stories for step number 7. It's coming. 2, don't tell them your stories. If you know how it feels, you know the questions to ask. 3, keep your conversation in context by being honest right up front. People appreciate it. There's nothing like an awkward segue in a conversation. Call up a friend you haven't seen for 3 years. How's your life? What's happening? What's going on? Well, the reason why I called is, oh, man, you can almost smell it coming. We haven't talked for 3 years. Feel bad about that. I'd like to spend a moment sharing with you what I'm doing in the health and nutritious market. Would this be a good time to visit? Just be straight with people. People appreciate honesty. It's very, very refreshing. Now, we're just about out of time. I'm trying to get all this in because there's just a couple more steps. Once you have been in someone's world and the wall has come down, there's a very sacred step I want you to take. I think you're going to find it to be very, very refreshing. I had a dream about this just a week ago when I was writing this chapter. In the dream, I was talking to a man. And this man was in like a financial prison, emotional prison. It wasn't like a penal system, but he was in a prison. And we got done talking, and he said, I need your help. And I said, what do you need? He said, I need you to move my sailboat. It's down at the harbor. And from our conversation, it's clear it needs to be moved to a different harbor. I said, I would do it. So I went down and got in a sailboat and checked out a harbor and then another harbor and then another. I found a really wonderful harbor for his boat. And then I lived on his boat in that harbor for 2 or 3 days to make sure that everything I would want to have happen was happening for him and his boat. Everything. And then I went back to this man, and I shared with him where I had put it and why, and the process I had gone through to make sure that his boat was in a safe place. And there was just this wonderful, trusting feeling between the two of us. It was so warm and wonderful. And I woke up. And I was lying in bed pondering this dream, wanting to understand the meaning. And I was in my mind in mental rehearsal, and I said, what is the meaning of this? And what I was told was the following. The sailboat represented his dream. And I had shared something with him that made it clear that he needed to move his dream to another location, one that I was going to recommend. But he wanted me to treat his dream as if it were my own, with my knowledge of him and his circumstances, to go relocate his dream where I believed it would, in fact, flourish, where it would be safe, where it would function, where he could have the success in his life. It all made sense to me. And I changed this document the next day. It's important that when we care enough about a person to listen for a door, step into their world, hear their hopes and their dreams and their goals and their aspirations and their problems and their struggles and their challenges, we don't use that against them to sell our product. We use that so that we can more accurately put ourselves in their shoes and try on our product. How does it fit? Will it really serve this person? Will it really serve them? Because it is, you will be able to present with such different energy. That's step number 5. Step number 6 is timing. Is this the right time to do it? Maybe that's enough for tonight. Maybe that's enough for the day. Maybe I should come back tomorrow. You know, I'd like to ponder what you shared with me about this and this and this and this and how you'd like to accomplish this. I'd like to come back tomorrow afternoon and present some ideas. Would you be open to that? Sure. It might be enough for the day. Now, don't let fear dictate that. Let your intuition dictate that. Step number 7. Is that you invite them into your world, and then you share with them what you'd like to share. This is your story. This is your experience. This is your solutions to their challenges. You don't need to tell them everything, just what they need to know to help solve their problem. That's step number 7. That's intrinsic validation in a very simple outline. There's a very complex document for you to read. I would highly recommend that you read it because I'd like to spend next week having you come and talk about your experiences with intrinsic validation, looking for the good in someone, looking for what's important to them, verbalizing it. What happened? Did you have any interesting experiences because of that? And did you listen for a door? Did you hear one? Did you step into their world? Were you able to take down their walls of resistance by creating a safe place for them? Were you able to know them well enough to step into their shoes and try on your dream, your product, excuse me, to see if it would satisfy their dream? And was it the right time? And then did you invite them into your world? Now, last comment for tonight. This is not a linear process. These are just the steps that natural connectors use. And every time someone introduces a new door, what do? We just step right back into their world. And you flush it out, and you create a safe place, you try on the dream, its timing's right, then you proceed, they bring up another door, and you step right back into their world. Too many get too excited about closing a deal when there are too many elephants in the room that everybody can see but nobody's talking about. You don't want those elephants in the room when you get to the point of encouraging someone to enroll in your program. You want those to be resolved. This is such a natural, peaceful, wonderful way to care about people, find out what's important to them, and if your product would serve them, share your product. And if not, thank them without throwing up on them and leaving them having had a good experience. That is not always true of direct sales and network marketing. There are a lot of people who've been turned off by the way in which they've been approached. Let us be different. Let us set a new standard. We're in an economy where your products are needed. They're just needed. People need to have alternative ways of making an income. You could be their answer, so long as you don't throw up on them or try to coerce them or force them. You'll find most of the time when you do that, you end up with a dead body on your team that's just being drugged behind you, and it's a painful experience. Vibrant people come through this process. Great people come. This is what is called sifting and sorting at a high level, because you're actually caring about the people in the process. Now, we'll spend some time next week if you'll share your experiences or share them in an email, and I'll talk about them. Then we want to fine-tune this next week so that you can do this at a higher and higher level. Because Og said, he said, I can have all the skills and the knowledge of the world, but without this, I will fail. He also said, with this alone, I can succeed. This is a key piece of intentional creation, being able to connect with people. Now, we've got just about 2 or 3 minutes if anyone has a comment before we wrap up the evening. I open up the phones for you.
Hey, Dave, this is Richard in Florida.
Hi, Richard in Florida.
Wow, what you said is totally, you know, you're hitting the nail on the head here, and it's totally resonating with me. One of my friends, I was just talking with them, sitting down with them, childhood friends, and the elephant was in the room the whole time, making it, but he's so patient, and I didn't want to make it awkward just bringing up, what I'm doing, so... this approach, and this is a total way of thinking that I don't know how I missed it, but it's great. Thank you so much for sharing it.
Oh, you're so welcome. Wouldn't it be fun if everybody approached everyone this way?
Oh my God!
When was the last time, Rich? When was the last time someone cared enough about you to listen to you, to really step into your world and listen? Without trying to throw up on you or share something, they just listened to you and validated your right to be on the planet just the way you are. When's the last time that happened?
I don't know.
I want you to know, Richard, I've asked that question 1,000 times or two. And almost every time someone goes, I don't know. Now, I've had a few exceptions, my husband or my wife or my girlfriend or whatever.
Right.
For very, very rare exceptions. Here's the point. Let us be that rare person. Because I know this. If someone ever does it to you, you never forget it. They become a dear friend, someone you honor and cherish and respect. Let us all on the phone tonight become that rare person, that person everyone is attracted to because we actually care about them. Ah, what a novel concept, huh? Thanks for sharing.
Thank you.
Anyone else before we wrap up tonight?
Dave?
Yes.
I would like to ask, and I missed the very first of the call, I'm unable to open my document, and I would really like to read it through tonight. Is there any way to get that resolved?
Lincoln, are you on the phone with me?
I am on the phone, Dave.
Very good. Are you at the office, Lincoln?
Yes, I am.
Okay, as soon as we're done with this call, I want you to call 801-294-7694. Lincoln, I'm going to send this document to you again, to your me account at the office.
Yes.
Hey, we might have to turn it into a PDF file or something, and Lincoln's also a technophile, so he can help you from a technical standpoint figure out how to get it into a format that you can open up on your computer. If there's anybody else on the line, you could do likewise. Just call the office, 801-294-7694, and Lincoln will help you in the next few minutes to get that to you. Just give us about, say, 10 minutes after we hang up. That'll give me time to pull up the file and get it sent to Lincoln and for him to receive and be prepared for your call.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. Anyone else before we wrap up tonight? Okay. Well, take this and start applying it. Keep it simple. Look for that good, what's important to someone, and then verbalize it. If that's all you do in the next week, just know you will have moved your life forward immensely by just acknowledging and noticing other people. If you're comfortable enough, then shift to listening for those doors. And when you say, here's my closing thought. When you say, tell me more about that, or share with me what you're thinking, I want you to know that no matter how poorly you do it from that point forward, it could be the best experience that person has ever had, ever. You enter a group of very rare individuals the moment you care enough to say, tell me more about that, or share with me what you're thinking. We'll work on the next few weeks perfecting it to another level. But if you got just that far this week, you could celebrate a victory. Well, everybody have a great evening, and we will see you next Tuesday night. Thanks, everyone.